The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuule Agbayani. It is Thursday, so you guys know, no Paul Brecht this morning as he is out at the HPU Aloha Tower Marketplace campus, getting set up at the Esports Arena powered by DSE Hawaii to bring you Sharks Weekly coming up after this show. So be sure you stick around as today's show will feature HPU men's and women's basketball. But, you know, we'll get to that a little later, but we're going to talk a lot of basketball today as joining me in studio is actually former UH Hilo and Manoa basketball player and Kapolei high grad, Zor Ned. Zor, what's up? Thanks for joining me. I'm excited.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
What brings you to town?
Season's over and it's time to get to the transitional period of, you know, what's next in life. So I'm excited to be back. I'll probably make my way around to lower campus and say what's up to the coaches soon once they get back from Final Four. But it's exciting to be back, enjoying time back home, and I love my experience at Hilo. But, you know, it's time to start getting ready for the next stages in life.
I know. Welcome to adulthood. Yes. You're going to miss the college life very much. I feel like it was just 5 years ago, but now I'm so far removed from it at this point. But we will definitely get into a lot of your experience, definitely as a student athlete, maybe go way back to some of your high school days and just basketball in general. Also, of course, having yourself here, I know you've been keeping up with the NCAA tournament itself. So we'll get all of your expertise and input on what you've been able to see and who you think is going to win in the men's and women's side as well. And we're just going to have a lot of fun today. So, thank you for stopping by this morning. And if you guys have any questions or want to text in, feel free to text us at 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481 as we are joined by Zor Ned. All right, Zor. So just as I mentioned, take us back a little bit. Like, we'll go down memory lane. Talk to us a little bit about your time at Kapolei High School.
Yeah, my time was really good. My freshman year, I was on JV, played for Coach Keith. JV is kind of tough because there's not many teams that make it to the playoffs. So it's like only the top two seeds from the East and the top two seeds from the West. We kind of started off not too well. We were 0-3 to start the year. And then we went on like a 7-game winning streak to end. And we kind of missed it by a coin flip, if you will. And then my sophomore year through senior year, I mean, we did pretty well. I was on varsity. I didn't start right away, but I started a good amount of games towards the end of my sophomore year. We lost to Kailua, I want to say, in the first round of the OIA playoffs. And then my junior year was probably our best year. We went all the way to the OIA championship game, and we lost to that monster team of Kuku with Daniel Fotu, Josiah Villa, and Samuta Vea, that team that went to, like, I think they were like third place in the Illini Classic. So we lost to them, and I mean, it's not too bad when you lose to the team that ended up winning the state championship. So, you know, we lost then, and then my senior year, really wanted to get back to the championship game, and we lost in the semis to Kalaheo, and they ended up beating Kuku, which next year got Tolu Smith. And I don't know how they did in the States, but we in the States, we lost, I think the second, oh no, yeah, in the States, we lost the second game because we lost to Marino. We had to fly, I think we had to fly to like KS Maui, and we lost to Marino in Manalua, and that was my last, well, after the consolation games in the stand, but that was my last game at UH, I mean, not UH, at Kapolei. After that, a kind of a funny story of how I ended up going to UH.
We love funny stories here, so go ahead.
Yeah, so when I was going into my senior year, UH had a shooting camp, and I was thinking that this is going to be like kind of like a prospect camp type of thing. But now that I know, and now that I've been a part of the program for so long, it's kind of like a, you know, it's like a fun camp for kids that are just starting out. So I signed up for the camp, and I show up and I'm the only kid that's there that's, you know, in high school. I'm in the older group, but the second oldest kid is like 12, 13. So like I'm in this thing and they kind of noticed that, like, you know, I'm there, but I don't, not that I don't want to be there, but it's like, you know, normally if you're a 16 and 17 year old kid and you're around a bunch of little kids, it's like, all right, I don't know how serious to take this, but you know, I tried to be as serious as possible. And, you know, some of the coaches, as much as they could talk to me, they would like try and keep me engaged and whatnot. And I just remember Coach Jacobson, he kind of would talk to me a little bit. And when I was trying to get recruited, I sent my first, like, I sent my emails to Coach Jacobson, like, towards the end of the year, because it was between going to a couple of different schools. And I just said, you know, let me shoot my last Hail Mary to and see if they respond. And luckily enough, Coach Jacobson remembered me from the camp, and he said he's been following me a little bit. So he offered me an opportunity to walk on, and I've kind of ran with that ever since. So it was kind of a funny story, because every year when we do kids camp, it's like, wow, I was here. And if I wouldn't have came to this camp, like, I don't even think I would have been able to be in the position I am today.
Wow, that's crazy. I've never heard that story before. That's a really good story. And you're right, it's kind of funny, but at the same time, in hindsight, you're like, well, I guess it worked out that I thought I was going to this camp, but still. And shout out to the coaches for keeping you engaged, because you're right. I mean, if you're 16, 17, and you're looking at like 12-year-olds as the next oldest group, you're like, I don't. This is interesting.
Yeah. It was a very tough day playing knockout. But like, I mean, I try to win everything, and not because, you know, at that time when you're a kid, like
boxing out 12-year-olds.
Yeah, like I'm assuming every time,
it's like the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial. Box out.
And I'm assuming every time like Gnat walks into the arena, like he's scouting. But now I know that like there's dead periods and times like that where he's not really, he's doing a bunch of million other meetings and stuff. So, but it was just a funny thing to look back at it now, especially when I'm see the kids now like really get like excited when he walks in the building or like play hard. And I'm like, wow, that was 100% me 5 or 6 years ago.
I love it. And we're hanging out with former UH Manoa and Hilo basketball player Zor Ned this morning, joining us for the entire hour. I lied. Go way, way back. What started your love for basketball in general?
Yeah. So I used to play football back in the day. My mom was really overprotective, so I only played like flag, but our flag team was really nice. We had like some guys that are now playing like Division I football that was on the team. We were really good. But I would say in third grade, I started playing basketball. I mean, I always liked to play and always liked watching it. And then I guess when it came time to make a decision of whether or not I wanted to play football or basketball, I guess basketball kind of caught my eye a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking back at it, I wish I would have played a little bit more football, because, you know, Hawaii football, and especially in high school, is an amazing thing. And especially if I would have been able to play at Kapolei, that would have been really cool. But, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, and I'm glad that I made the decision I did make.
Yeah, see, that's perfect. I'm going to go always reference back to that story, though, about the kids. I love that, though. I'm glad you shared that with everybody. All right. So you find yourself at UH Manoa, and then what were you kind of thinking or going through your head? Were you, you know, like, you know what, maybe I'm just going to go and play somewhere else now?
Yeah. So, I mean, I spent, it's funny to think about it, I spent almost like 25% of my life at UH, kind of grew up there. Like I was the youngest, I think I was the third youngest Division I basketball player when I was a freshman. I was still 17. You know, Coach Gnat has known me since I was basically an infant. So, I mean, I've spent a lot of time there. I met a lot of good people. But ultimately, it was just, don't get me wrong, I love my time at UH. Yeah. I met a lot of great people, a lot of great coaches. I learned a lot from just the coaching staff, even, you know, small things about just being on time and, you know, just how to, you know, be a good person and how to have good energy and whatnot. And I used a lot of the things that I learned at UH when I, you know, took my talents to Hilo, and, you know, I was very grateful for my time at UH, but a lot of times when people transfer, it's like bad blood, or it was just like, you know, I have a really good relationship with the coaches, and they kind of understood like where I was coming from. And it was just an opportunity to just finish out my college career the right way.
Mm-hmm. And like just be able to see the floor a lot more and whatnot. And I totally get that. And, you know, Paul and I talk about that all the time because I went to Chaminade D2, Paul went to D3 school, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's not all about being Division One if it means you're sacrificing the opportunity to even play. Like, you want to get on the court or the field, obviously still get a good education, which we will definitely get to, because I want to make sure we talk about how good of a student you are. Obviously, we're going to talk about all the athletic accolades and all of that fun, but you're a pretty good student when I kind of looked at your bio here. So we're going to continue this conversation as we are joined by former UH Manoa and Hilo men's basketball player Zor Ned, but we got to step aside. So we'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
To more Wake Up in the Den with Kukule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. Kukule Agbayani along with former UH Manoa and Hilo basketball player Zor Ned. All right, Zor, we talked a lot about your basketball journey and finishing up at UH Hilo, but yeah, just tell us a little bit about your time at Hilo. Beautiful island. Everyone knows that's kind of like my second home. I essentially grew up there. I have a lot of family up there. Mom used to put me on the plane every spring and summer, go hang out in Hilo. So it's an awesome place and I can't talk about it enough. But yeah, just tell us a little bit about your experience, you know, not only playing at the University of Hawaii Hilo, but also getting acclimated to the true island life that is Hilo compared to being here on Oahu.
Yeah, it was definitely different. I'll say that for sure. I mean, I enjoyed it though. I'm a very chill person, so you know, not doing much is kind of right up my alley. But when I went there, the very first thing I thought was like, wow, this really looks like Kaneohe, and like if like Kaneohe and North Shore had a baby, like I feel like this is what Big Island is. So it was really cool to be there. Coach Iona was really good about, like, you know, interacting with the fans and just learning a lot about the island and learning about the different people from there. So I thought it was really cool. And I think, you know, the biggest thing is, like, if you have a coach that's from there, he kind of understands what it means. So I thought that was a pretty cool experience. I didn't really get to go, like, I didn't have a car. So, like, and most of the guys that did have cars were, like, electric cars. So you can only get so far. So, I mean, when my brother came out for senior week, like we kind of got like a rental car and we kind of went to explore. I seen like one of the volcanoes. Towards like my last weeks there, I went to like South Point and like like a green sand beach. That was pretty cool.
Did you see the cliff out there at Sand Point?
Yeah.
Or South Point?
Yeah, I did. I didn't go. It's crazy to realize that you're afraid of heights when you drive an hour over there and you look down and you're like, okay, yeah, I can't. I'm not going to be doing any of this. But it was a really good experience. I really enjoyed being there. You know, I'm really glad that I made the decision to kind of take a leap and go out there and adventure and have a really good year in general. So, I mean, I wish we would have been able to finish the year off with a championship, but I mean, we did things that, you know, another team has done before. And I think that's pretty good too. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you guys made the postseason tournament, won your first game, you know, lost a tough one after that. But no, I think if overall it was a really good season. It was good even for us here at Hawaii Sports Radio because, you know, we cover a lot of HPU and just the D2, you know, schools in general here, like trying to give them a little more love. And it was nice to like have two schools from Hawaii be representing, because there has kind of been a little bit of a slump with some of the Division II schools here when it comes to the Pac West and making the postseason tournament. So it was nice. And then it was nice that you guys won your first game and moved on.
Yeah,
so
I thought that was a pretty like cool thing, because, you know, when you're at Manoa, you don't really notice you always pay attention to like HPU and Hilo, but like I thought it was pretty cool to see that how much you guys cover like HPU and all the other schools. I thought that was pretty cool. And it was kind of funny when we were getting ready to go to the Pac West tournament, and it was like us and HPU on the other side of the brackets. We were like, wow, would you imagine if two Hawaii teams are in the championship game? That would be kind of crazy, and that would be like the, in a way, battle for the island type, or not battle for the island, but like battle for the state type of thing. So I thought that was pretty cool.
We were happy, of course, when it shook up that way, because there were so many things that could have happened, like, down the last couple of games. Like, I think HPU had already clinched that third spot, but it was, the rest of it was still kind of up in the air. And I know us over here were like, please do not let them be on the same side of the bracket, because then that would just be, you know, you always want to hope for that, oh my goodness, they'll meet in the championship. And because I believe when the last time HPU was there, when they did win it, they knocked out Chaminade in the first round or the second round. And, you know, it happens, that's the way it shakes up, but ideally we would have wanted it to be that way, where it's both schools like battling it out for the championship. Maybe one day, where they're getting there. So I think what Coach Iona, and then of course what Jesse Nakanishi is doing at HPU, I mean, we can only expect both programs to, and of course Chaminade too, to still succeed. But Chaminade has always had their own Maui Invitational tournament thing to give them the spotlight. So again, I went to Chaminade, so it's not a knock on Chaminade, but they have the Maui Invitational, they have their spotlight a lot. So it's nice to see both Hilo and HPU now really have this upward trajectory and really be competitive in the Pac West. Because at the end of the day, that's all we want to see for the schools here. All right. So, talks a lot about yourself as a player, but I want to, you know, for all the kids or maybe parents that are listening, that school is still very much equally important when you become a student athlete and managing your time and whatnot. Because I was looking at your bio, you know, like they have some of your Big West stuff in here on your Hilo bio, Commissioner's Honor Roll. Highest honors at UH Manoa, NABC Honors Court at UH Manoa. So, I say that's pretty good. I was never an honor roll student since like elementary, so I tried to balance a lot of my college studies, but I don't know. I just wasn't if it wasn't my major, I just have a hard time like studying. But how do you balance just being a student athlete, both when you're at Manoa and then also going up to Hilo?
Yeah, I think UH does a really good job of when their student athletes are freshmen, they put them through this thing called the Summer Bridge Program, where you're surrounded by, you know, people that are in the offices, kind of trying to teach you the lays of the land and how to like figure out how you're gonna learn how to be good at time managing and balancing different things. So I would say that I probably contribute that to a lot of why I was the way I was. I've always been kind of self-motivated to do work, you know, just because I wouldn't want my parents to be on me about, oh, did you do your homework? You can't go outside until you do your homework. So I was always self-motivated for that. So I think that those two things had a pretty big part in my academic journey. And I think it's really just come down to like finding the time to do it, because in college there's going to be a lot of things you want to go to. You want to work out. You want to, you know, hang out with your friends and whatnot. But, you know, if you can find a little bit of time to do your homework here and there, or you can, you know, my always big goal is, although I didn't really get to do it 100% of the time, but my always big goal is to try and finish all my homework on Friday so that Saturday and Sunday it would be cool. You know, now once COVID started to happen, it was kind of like, okay, I'll just do it because there's nothing to do. I'll finish it whenever I finish it. But I think that it's always good to stay in the books. And, you know, everybody says, like, you don't have grades, you can't play. I mean, even going back to my high school days, like, our coaches were really big on that. Like, they wouldn't even look at kids that were, you know, below a 2.5. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just using those things that I've learned growing up and just trying not to fall behind in school, because, you know, the ball is going to stop bouncing one day, and you gotta be able to stand on your own two feet with your mind.
Mm-hmm. And how were you able to balance, like, maybe what are some of your, maybe just general advice that you would give to young student athletes that work for you in terms of time management and being able to get your studies done, specifically in college?
Yeah, I would always look, I mean, on Sunday you kind of can map out the week, and I would always look, like, normally a lot of like discussion posts are due on Thursday. So if I have certain class, I'll try and get most of my discussion posts done on Wednesday. And then normally on like Sundays are when like the the big things are due. So I try and heavy load my week in the beginning, probably do your readings and stuff on like Mondays and Tuesdays, and then really try and make the easier, I try and do the harder stuff first and then the easier stuff towards the end. So I just feel like finding a rhythm and finding a, you know, mapping out your week always on Sunday is has always been beneficial for me. I mean, a lot of kids, they kind of just wing it whenever they do it, they do it. But I always like to, on Sunday, kind of look at what I have for the week and just be like, all right, well, I know I have this practice here. I know I have on Thursday, we're going to go eat at this place as a team and I'm not going to get back till late. So like, it's just kind of balancing out, like knowing what you have to do for the week and knowing what you do have to do for the week in your social life and knowing what you have to do for the week in your school life.
And we are joined by former UH Manoa and Hilo basketball player Zor Ned. Okay, now, before I ask you about what exactly you studied, I'm just curious because I always like to ask people this, especially in college life. Are you the type of person that when you study, do you need the complete silence in the library, or are you someone that studies better when you're like at a Starbucks? Because I study better with like noise. And so when I would go to, say, Starbucks, my dad would always trip out and ever think I was like, are you really studying? Because how do you study with all that noise? But it's just, I don't know, I need that noise. And when I'm in complete silence, like in the library, sometimes I would go to the library for certain subjects because it would maybe help, or group projects in the rooms and stuff. But I'm always fascinated because people, yeah, it's one or the other. It's kind of, do they need noise or complete silence?
Yeah, it's funny. Growing up, my dad used to take me to the library like a lot, like every weekend to just try and go and read a book or like, because he would have work to do and it was like a better place for him to be. I personally, when I got to college, I didn't really use the library. Like they have a little academic center at UH for the student athletes. I'd probably go there more often than a library. But, you know, once I got older and I started to, I've never really done the Starbucks thing. I've mostly been a in my room studying type of guy, or you know, I've mostly really just been in my room. But I guess I do listen to music sometimes when I study. Mm-hmm. So the similarities between the noise and Starbucks and the music in my room, well, I guess I'm one of the Starbucks people and not really a library person.
Need the noise. And again, not a knock on the library. Go to the library, kids, if that's where you study better. Okay, now tell us a little bit about what you studied in college and what kind of career aspirations that you have now.
Yeah, so I studied communications, and my career aspirations is kind of, I mean, the world is so ever-growing with, you know, everybody doing podcasts now and how social media has kind of grown. But I kind of want to run a social media page for like a professional team and a major sports market. Or, I mean, I feel like I can do a lot of different things. Of my time at UH, I was kind of the guy that would do the Instagram takeovers and, you know, kind of help the social media page. And funny enough, the coach, Coach Iona at Hilo, he allowed me to kind of run the Hilo Hoops page. So I would do a lot of stuff. I would make a lot of posts and I made like a Valentine's Day cards type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I made one for like everybody on the team and everybody kind of liked that. And I made like this, like, I kind of gave them, cause I wouldn't say there's not a lot of resources, but it's kind of tough at the Division II level to, there's a guy that kind of does everything there. And I was kind of trying to just let him have a little bit more leeway to do other things and not just feel so, like I was trying to just take a little bit of weight off of his shoulders. So I did a little bit of like stuff during media day to kind of, to make it more fun and make it like, try and make the social media page grow a little bit. But that's kind of the stuff I want to do. Even stuff like this, like I really like podcasts and talking sports and talking just about pop culture and whatnot. So I haven't really labeled one thing that I really want to do, but you know, like we were talking about earlier, it's always good to be versatile in different things. And I mean, I took a class in like journalism class and practice reading off of a teleprompter and stuff like that. So wherever my life takes me, hopefully it's somewhere within sports and hopefully it's somewhere in a camera or behind a phone, hopefully.
Yeah. So. And it's 100, and I say that every time and remind everyone that, yeah, it's especially in the field of sports, like journalism, small markets, especially like here in Hawaii, right? It's just learning to do everything. But I've always been like that too. Like I wanted to do everything. I'm just anything that interests me in general. And I studied criminology and criminal justice. So that kind of.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because my, like the part of the reason why I'm even here in Oahu is like my dad got a job as a reporter here. So I guess maybe that might be the reason why I kind of fell in love with communications and whatnot. So it was kind of funny. Like growing up, my dad would, when I started to become a better basketball player, he would like make me practice how to give interview or how to answer questions on interviews and certain stuff like that. So I've always kind of liked communications and whatever lane that follows for falls through for me when I start to get into this adult life that people say. So I'll be excited for it.
That's fascinating. I love it. All right. Got to step aside for another break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back as we are joined by former UH Manoa and Hilo basketball players Zora and Ned. So we'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Why you come and shoot down?
Wake Up in the Den with Kuale Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Baby, please stop rocking my boat. Cause I'm ready to rock. Honey, don't say it if you're lying. Cause I came here to water down.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuale Agbayani. No Paul Breck today as he's getting set up at the HPU ATM campus at the Esports Arena powered by DSE Hawaii, ready to bring you Sharks Weekly following this show. But we're having a lot of fun today as we are joined by University of Hawaii Manoa and Hilo, former player, basketball player Zor Ned, hanging out with us. Before we get into the NCAA tournament and whatnot, because now I'm curious that you kind of like left that tease there, right? When we had to go to break about you moving essentially to Hawaii. You mentioned off air when you were three that you moved here because your dad was a reporter. So just tell everybody a little bit about what you told me off air. So because I think it's an interesting story.
Yeah, my dad got a job as a reporter here, and we all kind of picked up. We used to live in Philadelphia, and we kind of all picked up as a family and moved to Hawaii. I think it was between Orlando and Hawaii, and my mom kind of had the final say, and who wouldn't want to live in Hawaii? So we've moved there, moved here, and we moved to Kapolei around like 2003, 2004, and my dad was working for Woodstar, I think it was with Star Advertiser before Star Advertiser.
Star Bulletin.
Yeah. And he was just a reporter. But I think the coolest time was back when, you know, the Pro Bowl would come out here and he would be able to go to Ko'olina and interview some of the players. And I used to just tag along with him and meet all the guys. So I think that was a really cool thing a cool gig to have as a dad, just, you know, being able to bring your son to meet all these professional football players.
Oh, yeah. I bet like growing up, and that's why you are a football fan as well as, of course, following basketball. And hey, I think that's so awesome for, as a former reporter, what you mentioned before in the previous segment about him kind of teaching you or coaching you on how to do interviews and answer questions, because I think that's an art that has been not forgotten, but is almost secondary. You know, some athletes where I think same thing, where they know that their kid is going to go far, like Tua Tagovailoa, like they were very, like he was so good at the interviews and stuff from very early on. And you can imagine like his parents from the beginning were like, all right, this is how you gotta address the media and what to say, what not to say is kind of important these days as well. So that's good, but fueled your love for
yes,
possible communications.
Exactly.
All right. So let's talk about the other fun stuff that is the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament. We'll start off with the women's side, though. How awesome has this tournament been? Like, it's insane. And it feels so good to finally see women's basketball at this level that it's been deserving of for a long time, but finally investing in it, putting the eyeballs on it, putting it on ESPN, and now we see what we see, and the fans are being blessed with some really awesome games so far.
Yeah, it's been really exciting to watch. Even last year was really good, and I'm going to do a quick shout out to our team. Like, I feel like it's really good to see this year with Beamon's Bash, like a lot of people start to kind of pour more love into the women's team. But I think that the game is growing. I mean, growing up, my parents would always tell me to watch the women's college game because they play the game the right way. And it's great to see, you know, there's a lot of star power, you know, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, and all those great women players that are just kind of pushing the ball forward with the way that, you know, bringing more eyes and attention to the game. And I think that it's amazing that, you know, I feel like it should only grow from here. I mean, it should grow even to the WNBA. I think that they have a really good product out there that more people should be able to watch and more people should fall in love with.
Yeah, and I think this is only going to help bring more eyeballs in. Those in the WNBA, like, I hope all of those team owners are going to start investing more into their teams, because it's weird how they have, like, with their CBA and teams getting fined for if the owners want to take care of their players and put them on charters, like, they can't take charters. It's just so weird that there's kind of like that stronghold on, I guess, saving money in the WNBA, but hopefully now they lift that, because now we see, I believe, like Vegas and I think Phoenix is next, where they have created or built facilities that are specifically for the WNBA team, like we see in the NBA where every team has a team facility, but that wasn't the case for the WNBA. They would either have to practice in the NBA facility or wherever there was space available, but now they get state-of-the-art facilities, and I mean, Vegas back-to-back, so.
Yeah, it's really good to see the growth of women's sports in general, not even just basketball. You see it with volleyball. I don't remember the team that had like 50,000 fans at one of their volleyball games.
Oh yeah, that was the Nebraska game.
Yeah. So I feel like that's a really good thing. I'm really excited to see this Final Four. I'm a little bit more excited for the women's Final Four than the men's. I'm sure a lot of basketball fans are a lot more excited for that. But, you know, it's really good to see the game grow and more. I think it should only continue from there.
Yeah, and we've talked about it extensively on this show because Paul and I are huge, like, basketball fans. Obviously, we're in the media. Both of us played basketball, so we just have this, like, next level passion for the sport of basketball, along with all the other sports, but basketball is kind of like our jam. So we've been enjoying the ride with all of the excitement around these games. But and I'm glad that you kind of said that your parents told you or encouraged you to watch the women's game because they play it right, because that's kind of what we always talk about and try to get people or encourage people to watch, is because it's the purest form of basketball, right? Because they're not looking at these, you know, like LeBron James built, like, physical specimens that not everyone is going to be built that way. Like, he just has this natural physique and ability to, I mean, he's built like a linebacker, but moves like a basketball player. Like, it's insane. But watching women's basketball, and now at the level that it is, it's been so much fun. So when you look at both of the games in the Final Four, you got South Carolina, number one overall seed, Dawn Staley. We sing her praises all the time. We actually joke because how you mentioned our women's team here, we were like, oh, I don't know who's more of our favorite women's coach. It's between Dawn Staley and Coach Beamon, man. Like, they just kind of give off that same, like, presence and, like, both coaches that you would just love to play for. Like, there's nothing that you can say bad about them and their coaching and their coaching style, how much they care about their players.
Yeah, exactly. I think that South Carolina has done a really good job these past few years just finding a way to be the number one team. And, you know, that starts with your culture from your coach. I think that a lot of college basketball comes down to coaches installing a culture and the players following that.
Yeah, and looking at just on the court, though, I haven't Unfortunately for me, I haven't watched too many of the NC State games this year. I'm also kind of bummed, and I mentioned this earlier in the week, that I'm kind of bummed I didn't start paying attention to Oregon State for a while, because they did really well in the tournament and they were really fun to watch. And I very much like their coach as well. But here we are, South Carolina, NC State. South Carolina, they haven't had, even though their record reflects dominance, if we look at some of the games, they haven't necessarily dominated all the games that they've played in. So maybe what do you foresee happening in this game?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting battle because, you know, the interstate South Carolina versus North Carolina type of thing. But I hope that South Carolina is able to, you know, use their bigs and dominate the game. I know the last game they were up 20 points and they kind of let up a lead. And, you know, in the SEC tournament, they kind of got lucky with the bank three from somebody that's never made a three in their entire career. But I hope that they're able to finish it out. And, you know, who doesn't love a perfect season? So I hope that I have South Carolina winning that game. Although, like you, I haven't seen much from NC State, and I wish I would have paid attention a little bit more to them, because I forget who was on that side of, who did they beat?
Texas.
Okay, yeah. So I think I've been paying attention to the other teams. Even in the men's side, like, NC State is doing amazing. Mm-hmm. They just took out Duke the other week. You know, that used to be one of my favorite teams before.
I was going
to
say, you walked in and I'm like, are you representing Duke right now? You kind of got like the blue shorts and the Nike blue.
Yeah, I used to be a big Duke fan until I got to UH, and I've been Bo's forever.
All right.
But I feel like I'm going to take South Carolina in that matchup just because of their size, and, you know, they've been there before. Sometimes maybe the bright lights of the Final Four might be a little bit too much for certain teams, but South Carolina is a team that's been there the past 4 or 5 years. So I'm taking South Carolina in that matchup.
I am taking South Carolina as well. But to win it all, this is more of just, I figure, why not put the cherry on top for Caitlin Clark to break all these records and then win the national championship. But they have a tough matchup for Iowa and UConn. Paige Beckers has been healthy and balling up a storm that last game, or both of those games in the Elite Eight between USC and UConn. I mean, you have Juju Watkins at USC, just a freshman, being able to bring her team this far. I mean, the future is so bright for women's college basketball. And then Paige Beckers being injured, coming back from injury, doing what she's able to do. And then you just have Caitlin Clark, which everyone knows about Caitlin Clark at this point. Yeah. So that game is going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be probably the game of the weekend, to be honest with you. Although I do want everything that you just said, I low-key think that there might be an upset this week with UConn. I mean, last year I remember watching the Final Four games, and they were, I watched like the Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi like coverage on ESPN, and there was a part where like Paige was like a guest host on their show, and like you could just see like in her face that she was like, man, like when I get here next year, like I'm gonna dominate. So I really think, I mean, me personally, I feel like there might be a little bit of a UConn and UConn women's and men's national championship in the air, but I feel like there could be a possibility for, and if it happens, you can say that Zor called it, but I feel like they might upset Iowa this week because, I mean, Paige can kind of do, I mean, she doesn't, I don't know if she has the range that Caitlin Clark does, but she can do a lot of the things that Caitlin Clark does. So it will be a really good matchup. And what's better than two stars guarding each other for the full game? Like, Paige is going to play 40 minutes, I'm sure. Caitlin's going to play 40 minutes. And both teams are surround their star players with everything that their star player needs. Iowa has a lot of shooting, and UConn has basically everything. Yeah, so
just like the teamwork and the team movement. And they are very different types of players. Like, to me, Paige is definitely more of an overall player. And that's not a knock on Caitlin, obviously, right? I mean, no one can shoot like her in this league. But like when you see Paige and just her, like her mid-range jumper is like pure and beautiful, and like coming off the screen to the mid-range and like just,
yeah,
it's just a different, they play completely differently, but both is like fun. So that's why it's interesting to, or I'm curious to see how the matchup and the game plan for each team is going into this.
Right. And Gino is a great coach. So I feel like that's just another thing that we're going to, like, UConn is an underdog. And like a couple of years ago, UConn was like on a big winning streak of
four championships in a row. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm excited for this week. And that's probably a game that I'm probably the most excited to watch. And I feel like that game might break records that LSU and Iowa broke because of the star power.
Yeah, and then whoever we see in the championship game, like if it's South Carolina, and I feel like either Iowa or UConn in the championship, sorry, NC State, but yeah. They would definitely, I don't think they would draw as much. No, you know what? I don't want to knock them. You never know, because the fact that we could very much get a UConn-NC State championship in both men's and women's is like insane, that the way the bracket shook out and they're both here in the Final Four, it's insane. So we got to take a break, but when we come back, we will close it out with looking at the NCAA men's tournament side next on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuhle Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
It's
Wake Up in the Den. Kuhle Ogbayani, joined by former UH Manoa and Hilo basketball player Zor Ned. Having fun this morning. Paul Brecht getting ready for Sharks Weekly at the Aloha Tower Marketplace, campus of HPU. All right. Closing it out, we're looking at the NCAA men's basketball tournament, and UConn has just been, I mean, it's not even fair at this point. Like, that's when we talk about dominance, that's pure dominance. I mean, they're just annihilating everybody like by double digits, and all of the quote unquote experts, including, I guess, myself, I don't see any team beating a team that has been this dominant, that has everything like that you could put into. It's like if someone went into like grabbing on the list of everything that you could make a perfect basketball team, it would essentially be this year's UConn. Like, we thought last year was good. This year's is like at another level. Does Alabama even have a chance?
I would say that I think Illinois gave a formula for the first half of how to combat UConn's powerfulness. But I mean, it's going to come down to, you know, even if UConn gets a couple of stops in a row, like, just don't play outside of yourself. Don't fall into the trap, because this is a team that's capable of going on a 30-0 run on you like that. And I mean, UConn's sets are incredible. Like, they run everything great, and they're led by a really good coach. I think they just have to, I think there's some things that you can, even though the outcome wasn't that good, there's some things you can draw from the Illinois game that Alabama may be able to use. And if they get out and use the pace that they normally play with, it could be a good game. But again, you have to weather the storm, because UConn's going to make a run, and it's going to be a crazy run, and they're going to punch you in the mouth, but you have to be ready to respond. And I feel like, you know, if you can get the game within two or three possessions with 5 minutes left to go, I mean, it's anything happened as March, but that is easier said than done. Yeah. I'm not going to rule out Alabama, but I do, like everybody else, believe that UConn is the best team in this tournament right now. But I think, you know, a lot of these games, especially in the Division I, I mean, at any level, it comes down, especially in March, like, it just comes down to being disciplined in the game plan. And, you know, at least this time you have like a whole week to prepare for this team. Like, and why not do what nobody else has done? And, you know,
yeah, and shock the world. But unfortunately, it's a tale of two halves a lot of times in basketball, because, yeah, we've seen first halves be somewhat close against UConn. I mean, we've seen it in the championship game last year, where San Diego State seemed like, all right, they're holding back UConn pretty good. And then the second half comes, and then you're just like, all right, well, I guess this team, they too went into halftime and was like, we should be putting this team away, came back with a better game plan, and essentially put teams away. But probably the more fascinating game this weekend on the men's side is going to be that NC State Purdue game. Purdue being the number one seed and NC State number 11. So I guess the number in front of them indicates that they're kind of the Cinderella team, but they've been a pretty solid team all season. And of course, plays in a really good division throughout the season. But Battle of the Bigs, DJ Burns and Zach Edey, that's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good game. I really hope that the refs let them play. And I hope it's not like an early foul trouble situation where one or the other can't. Cause I mean, like, NC State goes as DJ Burns is going to go, and so does Purdue, too. I think that's going to be probably the second best game of the week. If we're going to put UConn and Iowa at number one, we'll put that as the second best game of the week.
I agree with you.
But I think that it's going to come down to just the battle of the bigs, who can control the paint better. And, you know, I think that NC State, I don't think that they think of themselves as a Cinderella team at this point because they've won. They haven't lost a game in under a month, right? Like, they've won the whole ACC tournament. I mean, they've won I think it's like 7 or 8 straight at this point. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, at this point in the year, it's kind of, you want to be playing your best basketball. I mean, it doesn't really matter about what's happened in December or November. Like, you're hitting your stride. Every team at this point in the year is playing their best basketball. So it's going to come down to execution and following the game plan for whatever these coaches put in front of them.
Yeah, and you're right. Let's hope that the refs let him play. I mean, especially DJ Burns on Zach Edey, because Zach Edey essentially gets like every foul called in his favor, and then he can shoot free throws. So it's just, I really hope they let those guys go at it and not knock DJ Burns out of the game. I mean, obviously there's going to be fouls, like legit fouls down low especially, but there are some times, and you know it all too well being a former basketball player yourself, where you're like, come on, man, you're going to call that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a very interesting battle of the bigs, cuz they have kind of similar styles, but you know, they're both like, I don't know how tall DJ Burns is, but I know Zachy's really tall.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like, he's going to be a little bit outmatched in some areas, but he's going to have, you know, advantages in some areas. So it's going to be a very interesting thing to see.
All right, a couple more minutes here for you, Zor. I'm just essentially going to give you the floor. And what do you want to say to all of our amazing listeners out there?
Thanks for listening. Thanks for everything these past 5 or 6 years that I've been at UHN and at Hilo. I really appreciate all the support. I mean, everywhere that I go, everybody really shows me a lot of love, and it's always reciprocated back whenever I see everybody. I'm hoping to stay within Hawaii media as long as possible, and maybe, who knows, maybe a few years from now I'll be co-hosting with you or something like
that. Hey, or having your own podcast.
Maybe
we can brainstorm after this. So you guys stay tuned. And it's summertime. We always joke that in sports media, it's not a joke, but kind of the fun and happens in the summer, just because like all the brainstorming and planning and projects, you get to do a lot of stuff that you can't do during the height of the rest of, like, from August till May. So like June, July is always kind of fun because you can just experiment with anything that goes on. So we'll see what happens. But okay, 1.5 minutes. I'm like, I don't want to like start a conversation and then we're going to get cut off. But this is something that, and I hope I'm not like completely throwing you off, but I just popped into my head now with the power of social media and, you know, fandom and stuff. I'm curious, like, how much do players pay attention to what fans say on social media?
I think that it's a running joke. Like, it was more so when I was at Manoa that we would see it more. And it was been kind of like a running joke. Like, it'll be thrown in the group chat and we'll just laugh at it. Or like I got a lot of, with like the way that sports betting is going, like, I got somebody will slide in my DMs and be like, oh, you owe me a house. Like I remember I made a shot. We were beating some team by like 30 or something like that. I made a shot and I guess it put us over or whatever. But I was like, I was just glad I got the score, and they were upset about that. I know that, like, a lot of times, like, I remember, like, Bernardo or, like, Noel would say, like, yo, like, look at this. Like, they hate on me right now. Like, but I think it's all fun. Like, I don't think we really care that much about whatever happens. I mean, obviously, basketball players and athletes, they're their biggest critics. So like whatever you're saying is not something we are not already thinking.
Good. But still, you trolls out there. Shh. Yeah. Positive vibes only. All right. We're just about set to go, but stick around for Sharks Weekly. Zor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. It's time. Kule Agbayani. It's been Wake Up at the Den. Mahalo for listening. Bye.